I got a green, a red light, excuse me. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 36 once again. I'm just going to read this first verse again and then start. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. This is how David starts out this psalm. Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. This is from David's perspective. This is from David's point of view. These are the words of David, the servant of the Lord. Not the king, not the warrior, not the captain, not the shepherd, the servant of God. Now, Walter and I spoke after service last week, and I want to do an addendum, I guess, to last week's sermon. And I did do some checking, Walter, and you were right, I believe. Perspective here, as I said, is David. Okay? Now, everything I said last week, I believe is true. David saw this in the wicked of his day. But he also saw it in himself. And I see it in myself. And you should see it in yourself if you are a servant of the Lord. Because, well, there was a couple of places, Walter, I did some checking on it. The actual translation of that word where it talks about within my heart, the literal translation is supposed to be within me. By idiom, it means my heart, my understanding, within me. Ellicott said, thus saith sin to me, the wicked man in my heart.
Yeah, there you go.
The reason David can recognize everything of the wicked is that he himself still was wicked.
Sure.
And so are we. All these things are true. I did speak of some things in the past, and they were true in the past, but they're also true now. We say it, we believe it, we'll preach it. I was depraved, I am depraved, and I shall be depraved until that day. This is our state. Within me, within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that's as true today as it ever was. I just didn't want to get anybody to get the impression that I was saying we're beyond this.
No.
Because we're not.
No, you didn't say we'll be.
Yeah. I will be one day.
Yeah.
When I awake in his likeness.
Yeah.
But not until. But anyhow, and David did see this in the wickedness around him.
Yeah,
and David did see it because there is still yet to come Psalm 51. Against thee and against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. But anyhow, I wanted to make that part clear before we moved on. Because this psalm is perfectly divided. The first four verses speak of the wicked. The next verse starts with the glories of God. Because we, as believers, can see and do see both. Verse 5. Of Psalms 36. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. His mercy is high. His mercy is in the heavens. His mercy is where David starts, right here in this psalm, when he starts talking about God. Because remember, this is the Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. From our perspective, from David's perspective, the first thing I need is his mercy. Why? Because of verse 1 through 4.
Yeah.
Not only the wicked that I was, the wicked that I am. Mercy is where it starts for me. From our perspective, it's the first thing I need. Please don't kill me, because I deserve killing. Even in my flesh, there is no fear of God before my eyes.
Yeah, right.
And in the spirit, it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in my flesh, there's no fear of God before my eyes. And that's a condemnation. But David says his mercy is high. He can forgive. He does forgive. My sins are ever before me. I need his mercy. My sins, he has seen. I need his mercy. I deserve death and hell. I need his mercy. I want wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, holiness, faith, love, goodness, and meekness. But I need mercy. I need mercy. And I have it now in Christ Jesus. Because his mercy is in the heavens. His mercy is high. This is where it starts. Walter, this is where, when you're preaching that message in Ezekiel, law work, the God work, this is where God moves you to cry out for his mercy, because he has put it in you to see that you need his mercy. Never used to need it. Never used to want it. Well, I needed it, but I didn't want it. I needed it, and I didn't know it. That's how depraved we are. We're too dead to know it. But that law work comes, that God work, I do like that term, because it is all of God, all the way down. And he grabs a hold of you, and he will squeeze you until you will cry out for mercy. I remember telling Walter years and years ago, I didn't know how to describe it. I still really don't. But I remember telling him that God put me in a place where I had nowhere else to go. He backed me into a corner, I think is what I said. And I had no one to turn to, no one else to ask, except to cry out to him for his mercy. And even then, his mercy was high. And it was in the heavens. Just with him. It's his mercy. And all you can do is cry out for it. And you will cry out for it if he lays hold of you.
Yeah.
You will. I guarantee it. Why? It's in the scriptures. Walter preached that sermon. That's where it ends up. We have not received again the spirit of fear unto bondage. But the spirit of adoption. Because first we'll cry out for mercy. And then we'll cry, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
And then it says, His faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. His faithfulness is just as high as His mercy. His faithfulness. His mercy, but then His faithfulness. Why? Because I don't want to talk about my faithfulness. His faithfulness is high. Mine is not so much. Okay, well, it's non-existent without His faithfulness. The only faithfulness I have is what He's given. It's His faithfulness because I still need His mercy this day. If He was to take away His hand, I'd fall. Utterly fall. I mean, there's a mercy in Him not killing me right now. But there's a faithfulness in that He's not going to kill me ever.
Yeah.
He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's the promise of Jesus Christ to every one of His sheep. Faithfulness. His faithfulness. And He is faithful. That's the second thing David mentions from his perspective. First, His mercy. Second, His faithfulness. Verse 6. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, Thou preservest man and beast. Thy righteousness, perfect and holy. Holy and perfect. Thy judgments, perfect and holy. Holy and perfect. Everything that God has and everything that God does, everything that God is holy. His righteousness is holy. His judgments are holy. His mercy is holy. His faithfulness is holy. His righteousness is like the great mountain. They're not going anywhere. It dominates the landscape. His righteousness does. And His judgments are a great deep. And I do like the word because it has to do with the sea. We cannot fathom His judgments. We can't, like the great mountains, I can't climb them. And like the great judgments, I can't fathom. They're higher than I am, and they're deeper than I am, and I'm in the middle. All I have and all I know is what He has revealed to me in this book. I have been given in that law work, that God work, a feeling of God's righteousness. But it ain't even close to how righteous God is. How holy He is. His righteousnesses are as the great mountains. They are above me. and his judgments are so deep I can't figure them out. But I know that all of his judgments are righteousness and are righteous. And his righteousness causes his judgment. And I know that I wanted his mercy because I was a sinner. And his righteousness had to be satisfied. And his judgment have to be carried out. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. His judgment was laid on his son for me. His judgments were laid on his son for his people. His righteousness was satisfied, and thereby he shows us his mercy and continues to give us his faithfulness to us. Because they were perfectly satisfied, his judgments that are deep in the Son. His righteousness was perfectly kept by the Son. The Son gives us his righteousness by his mercy. By his faithfulness, he preserves. He's the one that chose. He's the one that preserves. Verse 7 says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." It says that in loving kindness we are drawn. And how excellent is that loving kindness? It is so excellent that that loving kindness leads us to trust in one we didn't even believe in before, basically. Mm-hmm. His loving kindness draws us to it. We who didn't even know him, who didn't care anything about it. Matter of fact, we were enemies. Alienated in our minds and in our hearts. We were against God. By his loving kindness, he's drawn us. And when he draws you, you will come. And you will trust in him, the one who has drawn you, the one who has shown you his mercy, his faithfulness, his righteousness, and his judgments, and his loving kindness. You'll trust in him. You couldn't have told me 35 years ago that I would be standing right here, believing this God in this book. The one sitting on the throne. Christ Jesus, my Lord. You couldn't have told me I would be doing this. You couldn't have told me I'd have believed it. Because I didn't. See? This is the part that the world really... They think they can understand God. They think they know God. But they've got no idea in this world who Jesus Christ really is. I had no idea. But by his loving kindness, he drew me to himself. and showed me his mercy and showed me his faithfulness, his righteousness, his judgments, the ones that I can perceive. And the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Safe. We are safe. We are saved in him. Perfectly. My salvation is perfect. Because it's not mine, it's his. But my salvation is perfect. I'm not. But my salvation is. Because he is all my salvation. Verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Believers are satisfied. The servants of the Lord are satisfied. Not only that, they're abundantly satisfied. Bad English. You can't get no more satisfied. That's it. You can't get no more satisfied. Then abundantly. Abundantly is more than you can handle. What is it? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's abundantly satisfied. Because it's running over, you can't hold it all. And this satisfaction is not with ourselves. Not even close. Read the first four verses again. It's with the fatness of thy house. The provisions, the grace, mercy, the truth, the abundance of God's house abundantly satisfies. Not even my house, it's his house. This assembly here is his assembly. We're in it because he put us here. Everything I have, he gave me. My life, my health, the next breath I breathe, the knowledge that I have of him, the Son, the Father, the Spirit, and the knowledge I have of this world around me, the knowledge of his mercy and his judgments and his righteousness and his redemption and his justification and his blood that was shed for the remission of sin. Everything we have, we owe to God. He's given it. He made me drink. He made me drink. That's the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, that's okay, you're not God. He'll make you drink. He'll make you your mouth so dry, so parched, that you can't help but drink. People don't like it when you say God makes them do stuff. I do, because it's only good stuff. What's the matter with God making somebody do something? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's a rhetorical question. Oh, yes. People don't like that. You can't make me do that. You're not the boss of me. Yes, he is. You're just too dead to know it. That's it. I know. I was there. Been there, done that. I threw away the t-shirt. He'll make you drink. When he wants to. Only when it's anything good, only when it has to do with his good pleasure. And here it says there's a river that flows from God, consisting of his good pleasure. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Now, this is not a run. This is not a spring. This is not a pond. This is a river. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And it has pleased him to make us drink from the river of his good pleasures. We get to know them. We get to partake of them. We get to take them in ourselves according to his good pleasure. It's a river that can't be stopped or dammed or slowed down. And he makes us to drink from it. And we're happy to. We're happy to. The reason I have come to this place and the place we were at before and the place we were at before makes us sound like nomads. From Browns Road to Mabscott to the fire station to here. I'm not counting the place we were at before, Roy. Well, that'd been a good place if they'd took the truth. But they didn't take it, so we left. And we came where the truth was wanted to be preached. The truth of his good pleasures. He's made me drink there, and he makes every one of his children drink there. And right here, Walter, is what you talked about last time. Another thing we talked about in between services. The first four verses are all singular. Then you get to God's mercy, God's faithfulness, his righteousness, his judgments, and his preserving. Verse 7 says, therefore the children of men, plural. And then verse 8 here, they shall be abundantly satisfied. And I got to thinking just a little bit about that. My wickedness is mine. It's singular. Now, it's my flesh. It's singular. And the wicked are always alone. Always. They're too dead to know that too. And inside me, my wickedness is what I have to deal with. Y'all don't know anything about that because y'all are good people. I think better about you than I do about me. Because I don't know you the way I know me. It's mine. And no, I'm not confessing it. I'm just letting you know that it's there. So you won't feel lonely yourself. But that part is always alone. But after his mercy, his faithfulness, his righteousness, his judgments, his preserving, his loving kindness, I am not alone anymore. First of all, foremost of all, I have him. Yeah. More clearly, he's got me in his hand, and none's going to pluck him out of his Father's hand. I am never alone in Christ. I am never alone, and neither are you. Even when you feel your loneliest, like somebody, everybody's deserted you. And maybe they have, people you know. We do have a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And when you fall, you will. I'm reminded, Deb and I were talking about this on the trip down, to remember there's one, it says, I didn't look it up. When you fall on the rock, you're broken. You can be broken, but you're on the rock. Whom that rock falls on, though, should be ground to powder. But even falling on that rock and broken, you are not alone.
Right.
You are never alone. If you know Christ and you're in Christ, it's always plural. It's always plural. Whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, it's always plural. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. The fountain of life is with God. That's where that river of his good pleasures comes from. It's from his fountain. And it's a fountain of life. This life is with thee, and there is no life without thee. It's that simple. There is no life outside of God. There is no life outside of the Son. There is no life outside of the Spirit. Absolutely none. We can go through the motions, but that ain't life. You can go to church, but that ain't life. But life is with the Father. The life is in the Son, and the life is in the Spirit. Outside of that is death. And only death. I've been there too. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I know it now. I didn't know it then. But outside, they don't even know they're dead. They don't even know there is life. Because they think this life is all there is. And it's not. He is life. And he gives life. And the Son gives life. And the Spirit gives life. Even as the Father quickeneth, even so the Son quickeneth. Whom he will. And he will make you to drink of his good pleasure.
Yes.
Because in thy light shall we see light. The source of life is God. The source of light is God. Walter preached that sermon. I just read it, and then I'd heard Walter preach that sermon. If your eye be single, you'll see the light. But if your eye is evil, There's nothing wrong with the light. The light is God. And the light has shined out of darkness. The light came down and dwelt among us. But they wouldn't have it. They hated light and loved darkness. There was nothing wrong with the light. There's something wrong with us. But only in His light will we see light. And we will see light in His light. I like that. Because our eyes single. He's made it that way. And His light will shine. It does shine. And it shines all around us. Believers are just the only ones who see it. That's just the way it is. And I'm going to tell you, that's because of His good pleasure. That's the way He set it up. It's documented. And I've experienced it. And so have you if you know it. You will see men calling darkness light. That's what they'll do. If that light that be in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? It ain't light, but they think it is. It's not light, but they think it is. And they act accordingly. And they love darkness rather than light. But if you know the fountain of life, you know the fountain of light. And you will see light. You will see His truth. You will hear it preached in His gospel. And you will believe Him. The Father quickens whom He will, so the Son quickens whom He will. And the Son was always with the Father before He came to the world. And He is there now, seated at the right hand of the Father. And He is shining His light. His light shines. That's what light does. We see it. We see light in His light. This is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He's the light, the source of all the light, and is the only light that shines. He shines because that's what the light does. And we see because He's given us eyes to see His light. It's part of His mercy. Part of His faithfulness. Everything we have has been given us in Christ. All life, all light is in Him. And we receive it from Him because He has made us to drink of the river of His good pleasures. And He's made us happy to do so. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time, this place. But most of all, Lord, for you, our Lord, our life, our light. Thank you for everything you've done for us and for everything you've done to us and for everything you will do to us. We wait upon you and we trust in you, for we believe you through the faith you have given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.